Turn, if you will, please, in your Bibles this afternoon. I know this is a tough spot because we've had such a wonderful meal and maybe haven't moved it around, but turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 24, first of all. Matthew chapter 24. Now, let me just say this, and commencing to try to put the material together and evaluating these, of course, we found that in 25 minutes it would be impossible to evaluate these two versions. The name of the two versions are the Contemporary English Version, and that's what we're going to zero in on. And the name of the second version is the New Century Version. The New Century Version is a completed Bible put out by Word Publishing. And I'll say just a little bit more about that later on. Word Publishing is owned, we understand, by ABC. American Broadcasting Corporation owns Word Publishing. Many of our Christian firms have been bought out by the secular markets. And of course, the bottom line is, what does it produce in dollars, not what does it produce in spirituality and that sort of thing. But follow, if you will, here in Matthew 24, first of all, these two verses, verse 34 and verse number 35. Our Lord said, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." One of the most recent attacks upon the King James Bible and the received text is from the American Bible Society. About 15 years ago, the American Bible Society came out with a New Testament called Today's English Version. And then finally, they produced the Good News Bible. In 1991, they brought out another translation called the Contemporary English Version, which when it's completed, is going to be called, for the complete Bible, the Bible for Today's Family. So you put those two words in your computer, and remember the Contemporary English Version and then the Bible for Today's Family. And I want to share this with you because the American Bible Society has a great influence in North America, and no doubt has been greatly responsible for moving away from the King James Version and moving to other translations. But our Lord assured us here in these two verses that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And I'm so grateful that in the sea of Bible versions and perversions, God has still given us the rock, the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture in the King James Version. Amen? Now, I want us to look at this ultimate liberal translation. I understand much better my subject having heard Dr. Seitler this morning. But would you believe that there would ever have been a translation which would actually boast that the word salvation is not found in the translation? Neither are the words justification, reconciliation, propitiation, atonement, sanctification found in this version. Now, let me give you the actual quote from pages 3 and 4, Roman numerals, or 3 and 4, from the introduction translating the Contemporary English Version. Here's a quote. "Traditional translations use words such as justification, righteousness, redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, atonement, salvation, sanctification, and repentance. All these words are absent from the Contemporary English Version. Finally, a Bible without salvation. Finally, a Bible without repentance, without atonement for sin." Can you imagine leaving out these great biblical words? Now, they are going to give us two reasons why they've done so. And you'd have to be an imbecile to accept their reasons. I have another word, but I try to be a little bit more gentle. The translation has obviously been translated by men with some brains, but you'd almost have to have a reprobate mind to give these two reasons why you left out these nine words. I quote again. One reason for the absence is they're not used in everyday English. I don't know. I use them every day, don't you? It's not that the original text does not have a word that can be reliably translated into one of these nine words. It is simply because these words are not used in everyday language. I wonder what a computer expert would say about this reason. We can't use the word byte or RAM or CPU because they are words not used in everyday language. But they are certainly used in the technology of computer science. And these great Bible words are found in the Greek text and must be translated and then explained to point men to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second reason they give is even more ludicrous than the first. I quote again, but there's an even more important reason. These are nouns, but they describe actions that God or people do. For example, the word salvation means God saves people. Repentance is more difficult because it refers to more than one event. Someone sinned and then turned from sin. In the CEV, each of these words may be translated in several different ways depending on the special meaning they have in that particular verse. End of quotation. Well, beloved, what a roundabout circumlocution of reasoning. Amen? Thank God for the fact that He does act. And if God did not save sinners, there would not be the resultant action of sinners in believing and repenting. Amen? And all these words are left out of the CEV version. Now, I have a photocopy of the 1992 catalog put out by Thomas Nelson. And it gives the products that the Thomas Nelson publisher is publishing. And they contain 15 or 16 products of the CEV. Now, I'll make this following statement. And again, I quote from page number 49 about the American Bible Society. I thought you'd be interested to see the whole drift of the American Bible Society. Founded in 1816, the American Bible Society was formed to spread the gospel and promote the distribution of holy scriptures. Soon after its founding, the ABS took the Bible to the American frontier and began to unite with local Bible societies to reach and help immigrants, freed slaves, mariners, city youth, and minorities. Translation programs began in the 1800s, continued to bring the scriptures of all cultures and races. As the American Bible Society celebrates its 175th anniversary, that's this year, the ABS is launching a major effort to bring Bibles to Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union. Overseas translations, publications, and distribution continues in partnership with Bible societies all over the world. End of quote. Not only can we expect a further attack on God, the church, and salvation in the translation of the CEV, but an attack of God, on God, His church, and the salvation in other languages of the Confederation of Independent States, the Eastern Europe. In other words, a worldwide attack to the spiritual impoverishment of the world. The CEV will be the translation being marketed by the American Bible Society and Thomas Nelson in the coming years and will replace the today's English version. Already, Thomas Nelson has 16 different products featuring the CEV in their catalog. Two of these productions have the Roman Catholic imprimatur, and thus they are well ahead in getting the Church of Rome into their camp. Now let me say that the catalog has four that are in production, due out here in 92, some as far into 1993. The actual text used for the CEV is stated as follows, and I quote, "The CEV has been translated directly from the Greek text published by the United Bible Societies, bracket, third edition, corrected, 1983, close of brackets, close of quote." Now that's interesting. I believe that's about the third edition. So as our brother made reference this morning, I guess the other two are incorrect and we're still in fluid. trying to come up with the right text for the Word of God, aren't we? Of course, on the United Bible Society's committee, there were Roman Catholics. I don't know if that's so of this continued committee, but I don't know if they're Jesuits, but I do know that the CEV has a strong Roman Catholic influence in the United Bible Society had a strong Roman Catholic influence in the 1976 Today's English Version. All right, another quote as they're talking about their translation. Drafts of the CEV New Testament in its early stages were sent for review and comments to a number of biblical scholars, theologians, and educators representing a wide variety of denominations. In addition, drafts were sent for review to all English-speaking Bible societies and more than 40 UBS consultants around the world. Final approval of the text was given by the American Bible Society's Board of Managers upon recognition of its translation subcommittee. So all the liberals, end of quote, so all the liberals around the world reviewed and approved this translation so that it will be accepted in every English-speaking area of the world. New paragraph. One thing I thought significant about this quotation is a quote I found in the Nelson catalog. Again, quote, "The Bible for today's young leader is a natural choice for students. It is easy to read, simple to memorize, and key to a fourth grade learning or reading level." End of quote. I understand the average newspaper is geared to a fifth grade reading level. And there's another translation that has been produced by Word Publishing called the New Century Version. One of their salesmen told me it was geared for a fourth grade reading ability, even though it's not written for children but for the whole family. Surely the mandate in true translation is to accurately translate the Greek and the Hebrew text into that particular language, not to aim for a certain reading level. This particular edition has a copyright section called a word list. It's comprised of 5 pages, and those pages are numbered here in the paper if you want to look at them. I thought it was significant to see the great length they go to instruct us in the words unfamiliar to the average reader. For example, they have included the word aloes, the definition of sweet-smelling spice that was mixed with myrrh and used as a perfume. You'll be glad to know that it's used one time in the New Testament. Another word they felt was so important for folk to understand was cumin, also found one time in the New Testament. Another they felt would be a real troubler for a lot of people was the little word rue, R-U-E. Though only used one time, they make sure to give it a full definition, a garden plant used for seasoning and medicine. Then they listed Aramaic. To be honest with you, I cannot find a reference in our New Testament to this word. Then they had another very significant word to put in their word list, Zeus, the chief god of the Greeks. Again, what significance could these two unbiblical words, unless it be used in some sort of a footnote. But most astonishing are that the words that are omitted from the word list. If I were producing a word list, I certainly would give the definition of faith. I certainly would give a definition of hell. I certainly would give a definition of the gospel. But faith, heaven, hell, gospel are not significant to the translators of the CEV. Next, I would like us to look at some verses that are usually problem verses when you come to a text that is not the received text, the one underlying the King James Version. When you come to the United Bible Society's text, or when you come to the Westcott or Hort of the text that we used when I was in Bible college, the Nestle text, you'll usually find about 26 passages of the Scripture where there could be an entire verse left out. I want us to look at some of these and see again what an inaccurate translation the CEV really is. By the way, I'm deeply indebted to a man by the name of Everett Fowler, who was a layman and a member of the First Baptist Church in New York City. He put together a booklet called Evaluating Versions of the New Testament. And I believe Brother Stewart has that on the table out there for sale. And here are some of the possible verses omitted or footnoted. And I want you to turn, because out of those 26 passages, there are 15 passages or 15 verses left out of the CEV. And I want you to just turn them up with me, and you follow, if you will, in your King James Version. You follow in the Bible, and I'll read this. I'll read this thing. All right. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. First of all, Matthew chapter 17. Now, it's very interesting because whenever they're going to leave out a verse, they help you to know that because they put the verses together. And the verse that's going to be left out is verse 21. So in numbering it, they put 20:21. Now, let me read it to you, and you follow in the Bible. Jesus replied, "Is it because you don't have enough faith? But I can promise you this, if you had faith no larger than a mustard seed, you could tell this mountain to move from here to there, and it would, everything would be possible to you." It stops there as a footnote for you, going back to the last word. Some manuscripts add, "But the only way to force out this kind of demon is by praying and going without eating." So the verse is entirely omitted and put into the footnote. Matthew 18, verse number 11, please. And again, they tell you what they're going to do by putting verses 10 and 11 together in their numbering system. "Don't be cruel to any of these little ones. I promise you that their angels are always with my Father in heaven." It says, in heaven, some manuscripts add, "The Son of Man came to save people who are lost." All right, again, the verse is omitted from the text. Two omissions. All right, follow on, if you will, please, to Matthew 23. Matthew 23, look at verse number 14. Matthew 23, verse number 14. 13:14 here says, "You Pharisees and teachers of the law of Moses are in for trouble. You're nothing but show-offs. You lock people out of the kingdom of heaven. You won't go in yourselves, and you keep others from going in." Footnote. Some manuscripts add, "You Pharisees and teachers are in for trouble, and you're nothing but show-offs. You cheat widows out of their homes, and then pray long prayers just to show off, so you will be punished most of all." Again, an omission of verse number 14. All right, go, if you will, to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 7. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 7, please. And look at verse number 16. Mine says 15 and 16. "The food that you put into your mouth does not make you unclean and unfit to worship God. The bad words that come out of your mouth are what make you unclean." Again, a footnote. Unclean, some manuscripts add, "If you have ears, pay attention." All right, go on, if you will, to Mark chapter number 9. Now, I know that you can even find fault with the additions of what they put in the footnotes, but I just want you to see these are verses left out. Mark chapter 9, verse 43 and 44. "So if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. You would be better off to go into life crippled than to have two hands and be thrown into the fires of hell that never shall go out." And again, some manuscripts add, "The worms there never die, the fire never stops burning." Again, verses 45 and 46. "If your foot causes you to sin, chop it off. You'd be better off to go into life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell." Again, the footnote adds, some manuscripts add, "The worms there never die, and the fire never stops burning." Come quickly, if you will, to Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter 11, verse number 26. That'll be 25 and 26. "Whenever you stand up to pray, you must forgive what others have done to you. Then your Father in heaven will forgive your sins." Footnote. Some manuscripts add, "But if you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you." Mark chapter 15. Verse 27 and 28. Mark 15, verses 27 and 28. "The soldiers also nailed 2 criminals on crosses, one to the right of Jesus and the other to the left." Footnote. Some manuscripts add, "So the scriptures came true which say he was accused of being a criminal." And then Mark chapter number 16 and verses 9 through 20. Now, they include all those verses in the text. But interesting enough, after verse number 20, they have this heading, Another Old Ending to Mark's Gospel. And then they give these two verses. The women quickly told Peter and his friends what had happened. They called them verses 9 and 10. The women quickly told Peter and his friends what had happened. Later, Jesus sent the disciples to the east and to the west with his sacred and everlasting message of how people can be saved forever. And here's their footnote, another old ending to Mark's Gospel. Some manuscripts and early translations have both this shorter ending and the longer one, verses 9 through 20. Now, beloved, for time's sake, let me just mention that out of the possible 26 passages that Fowler cites, they leave out 15 entire verses and put them in the footnote. Then they add this spurious ending. By the way, my Nestle's text had that. It says another ending. And it was very interesting. It was Alos there instead of Heteros in the Greek. Another of the same kind. So I guess it just tells you what the rest of the text was about. But let me just point out one or two more here, and then we'll have to stop. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter number 17, verse number 35 and 36. Luke chapter 17, verse 35 and 36. Two women will be together grinding wheat, but only one will be taken, the other will be left. And then again, in the footnote, we read, some manuscripts add two men will be in the same field, but only one will be taken, the other will be left. Now, you can look at this, and if the paper's going to be useful, we'll make it available and it can be reproduced. But let me just say this in conclusion. Our Lord said in Matthew 5:18, For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Again in Luke 16:17, our Lord said it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one tittle of the law to fail. And according to Strong, the tittle is something horn-like, specifically the apex of a Hebrew letter, figuratively the least particle. And the jot, again according to Strong, is figuratively the small part of anything. But in the contemporary English version, whole letters, words, verses have passed away by the translator's pen. Consequently, we must reject the CEV, New Testament, and I'm sure of a coming Bible for today's family, as another spurious English translation.